Hello, and welcome back to Kessel Run Relay, a Star Wars podcast. As a reminder, our episodes drop bi-weekly at the beginning of the week. Be sure to follow us on social media. Our links will be in the description. This week, we're recapping episodes 3 and 4 of The Acolyte. But before we get into that, hi, my name is Hayden. I use she, her pronouns. You can find me on TikTok at Taika.Waititi, Twitter and Instagram at MCUITD. And my brainworm of the week is co-knitters. Han Valence. So, for those not in the know, I've taken up the profession of knitting and I've had to restart 6 times and have gotten only a row and a half in. So, that's what my week has been like. It's been cross-stitching, knitting, and getting the new pressing of the Twilight soundtracks from Barnes & Noble. All very old lady activities. And I have to say, old lady activities and hobbies are the best. Now, do I want to throw my knitting needles out the window sometimes? Obviously, yes. Do I say it relaxes me? Also, yes. I contain multitubes. Tubes, not multiple tubes. Tubes? Well, anyway, on this fine morning, Emily, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Emily. Pronouns she, her. You can follow me on social media at underscore Stardust M on Twitter and Instagram and at Stardust M on TikTok. My brainworm of the week is what it was going to be last time, but then updates happened, which is Charlie knowing about the Cyril and Yord comparisons.
The
Last week it was just going to
lineage.
be Cyril and your similarities, but now apparently Charlie knows about that, so that's fun. And he said they would be steaming buddies. They'd have steaming parties, which I love a
He's
man who
so
understands
correct.
his character.
He is genuinely so correct. Now, we are joined by two special guests this lovely, lovely morning that we're recording. So go ahead and introduce yourselves to our listeners.
Hello, I'm Maggie. I use she/her pronouns, and you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at maggies.galaxy, and on Twitter at markyonsho. And my brainworm of the week is chapter 54 of Temptation of the Force. 53,
So true.
53.
So
I'm
true.
still
So true. Oh
there.
my God. Emily, you're gonna go crazy. You are going to go insane.
No.
Only Tessa would be able to write that chapter. Only Tessa.
Yep, real. I've literally never left. I've been there for 2 weeks as a home.
Yeah, I think coming up on 2 weeks.
On Tuesday. Yeah.
What a book. All right. Our second guest.
Hi, I'm Tells. My pronouns are they, them. You can find me on TikTok at Discount Sansa Stark and Instagram and Twitter at Sansa Skywalkers. And my brainworm of the week, I finally watched Napoleon because Joaquin Phoenix, and so all I can think about is him tripping down the stairs and screaming, "Oh fuck," as he's being chased by Frenchmen. The wooification of Joaquin Phoenix that Ridley Scott does needs to be studied, but I love it so much.
I know there's also been some gladiator news, which Liv is not present on this podcast today, but she is nevertheless excited for.
We got behind the scenes photos on set finally, and
God bless.
I'm very normal about Lucius wearing Maximus's armor. Very normal about that. It's fine.
Sure, Jan.
Manifesting a trailer this week for my sanity.
Excellent. Excellent brainworms. Welcome everyone to the round table. So, what happened in the past week or so? I'll tell you one thing that happened.
You.
I got a box from the wonderful, wonderful team at Lucasfilm Limited. Because, oh, so before episode 3 aired last week, well, 2 weeks ago now, technically. About an hour before, there was a video posted to Star Wars' social media post of Charlie Barnett, the guy who plays Yord, for those not in the know, signing stickers, writing out envelopes with our names on them, and, like, packaging things up to be sent out to members of the Yord Horde, right? Now, the listeners cannot see this, but behind me, I have the envelope and the sticker that Charlie Barnett signed on my little bookshelf right there. It's the orange envelope. And I have... exactly. And Kels is also holding theirs up on our screen right now. So, there was a bit of a snafu. And once again, the lovely, lovely team at Lucasfilm decided to send me a box for the Acolyte that was sent out a couple of weeks ago. I tell you, there was a noodle bowl in the pack that I have been fiending for. I want it so bad. I have the noodle bowl. It's bamboo. It's beautiful. It's lightweight. There was also, what else was there in there? There was a portable charger with Pip on it. I love it. There's an Acolyte blanket that's up in my closet because it's too hot to use. There was also all of these stickers. Like, I tell you, just so many. In addition to, they sent me a McFreaking tote bag with the Yord Horde symbol on it. And I will, in fact, be using that at San Diego Comic Con. So, thank you. That's what happened this week. Anybody else have anything happen to them?
I had, like, 900 plus incels come after me to the point where I had
Oh, God.
That was fun.
If Kels is ever enjoying a piece of media, you can guarantee that men are going to flood their comments being the most vile people.
Yeah, I'm scared for Gladiator because I feel that's... I'm going to get the film bros and the history buffs in there, and I'm like,
oh no.
I yeah, so pray for me during Gladiator 2 era. I might be ugly.
Honestly?
And the combo right now of Acolyte and House of the Dragon.
Oh my god.
Monday was so
double
bad.
Double homicide.
I was seeing terrible House of the Dragon takes.
Don't even get me started.
And then terrible Acolyte takes on the other, on the same day. And I'm like, actually...
It was too much. This might have been a mistake.
Airing both of these shows at the same time, worst decision.
I opened up TikTok Monday morning after Blood and Cheese came out.
Oh, God.
It was fucking horrendous. I've been trying not to curse on this podcast. It was... horrendous. There was one tweet, or no, there was a reply under a TikTok that I saw about, like, well, why is it called Blood and Cheese? It's such a stupid name compared to what it is. Do we not understand irony? Do we not understand, like, dramatic creative writing devices? I just... It's been a lot, and I don't expect it to get any better.
Not gonna get any better, because...
Absolutely not.
Rivals the... Star Wars fandom with terrible literacy takes.
free Amanda Love, free Olivia,
free all of them, please.
I genuinely, because I have most of House of the Dragon Twitter muted at this point on both sides. I forgot how much people hate Allison Hightower. I'm like, guys,
can we use our brains here?
Yes.
Literally.
This week, though, is the one where it's like, Allison is not a lesbian, and all of this, and people were quote retweeting it with, like, auto. And I was like, that's, yeah.
Well, I have a thread as to why everything in episode one is proof she's a lesbian, but it's fine.
I'm glad that I, like, saw that information beforehand, though, because if I had on... Oh, I don't remember when I watched it, but just, like, been jump scared by her and Kristen, I would have, like, had to, like, stop the show and, like, never return.
JJ went to the premiere, and she literally texted me. She's like, there's something that happens in the episode you may not be happy about. I'm like, oh, okay. Great. Thank you.
needed that wording to
Yeah.
fully to so I could process and move past it.
What an intro. What an intro to the episode, to the season. I saw a tweet that said, Otto has a communist for a grandson and a lesbian for a daughter. Pick a struggle. Listen, if Otto Hightower has no haters, we're all dead. We're all in the ground, buried, worm food.
I'm so excited to be his ass handed to him this season. Oh, it's gonna be great. It's gonna
Please.
Be great.
He's already fighting for his life.
Not hard enough.
His grandsons do not like his ass.
So funny. Both Aemon and Aegar are just going after him, and he's just like, oh, okay.
Okay. They do not like it.
It's like 10 minutes late, 10 minutes earned. Can't stand her ass. 10 minutes later in high council meetings, me and the bestie.
That's Aegon and Aemon this season. Like, it's oh, like she can't stand his ass, and then whenever Aegon needs to use Vhagar, me and the bestie.
Oh man,
hey,
real quick, can you use her?
It's like going to your parents and asking to use their car, like, right after you got their license when they're still, like, super stingy about them using your car. Anyway.
I see somebody with, like, Aegon and Aemon sharing Vhagar like she's a Toyota Corolla.
Oh my god. Anyway, in summation, Otto Hightower, meet me in the pit. Can you
they could
fight?
Never make me like you.
Exactly. Once again, if he has no haters, this podcast is dead. The guests on this podcast are dead. Okay. Anything else? I don't think any Star Wars news came out. Well, Temptation of the Force came out a couple of weeks ago.
Life-changing.
Truly.
Yeah, no,
truly, truly changed lives.
It was life-changing because as soon as I finished it, I opened Twitter, and that was when Swagman posted that tweet.
The video
of, so like, I literally was like, I already am having emotional whiplash, only to open this. I reached a point where I wasn't even, like, processing anything anymore, and I just, like, was on the ground.
That's so real.
And then just staring into space, like, I don't know what just happened, nothing is processing, like...
A lot of things happened in that book. And I know Emily hasn't read it yet. I think she said she's only 50 pages in, but oh my god. Once we do a Temptation of the Horse episode.
Get me on there. It was written for me specifically.
No, it was literally written for Maggie specifically.
I was like, I think we have to have Maggie on. Like, already, I was like, put already a Eivor, a Marcian, and then I just got to an Elzar chapter.
When I tell you, I literally said, the first chapter, not the prologue, the first chapter, I already said, this book is going to kill people. It will cause several deaths. And I was correct.
The first chapter, I was like, when they were like, Elzar was like laying his head on her thigh.
Like,
and then they like fell asleep on the floor together. I was like, Tessa.
Wild. Wild. Oh my god. That book. I have to say, I won't say anything because I know you haven't read yet, and I know a lot of our listeners are still reading it, but oh my god, it might be within my top three High Republic books. I can't lie.
I think it's right behind Convergence for me, which is a big deal because we all
know Convergence. Yeah. No, it genuinely, the writing, not only what happens in the book is so good, the prose is insane.
Tessa's writing, or I mean, even 50 pages in, like, they have cemented themselves as one of my favorite Star Wars
absolutely.
Authors. I mean, just absolutely wonderful. Like, I was only like two chapters in, and I was like, the way that they write Eivor already,
literally,
is, like
the meditating
perfection.
Emoji. Oh,
yeah,
just so good. If you haven't read Temptation of the Forest yet, please do it. But What a novel. What a piece. What a piece of the High Republic. And to think that that's the second to last adult book?
I know. That's
scary. It hit me as I was reading it. Like, that's the second to last adult book. And the next time we're getting an adult book is in, like, basically a year. That's scary. The ending? Oh my god, the ending. I won't say anything else, but oh my god, what a novel. It really made me want to go back and revisit Tessa's Marta chapter. That is, I think, my favorite chapter in Tales of Light and Life. 100%. I think about that probably once a week. And we know how fast my brain moves. When I say once a week, I mean once a week. I had to go back and read it. Like, oh, what a novel. But anyway, I think that's all we have for the events of the past 2 weeks. I don't think any comic books came out, question mark. I think High Republic 8? I don't know. To be quite honest, I haven't been keeping up with comics a lot.
Darth Vader and Star Wars are ending their runs.
Thank you. I completely forgot about that. Which, thank God, because if Darth Vader 2020 has no haters, Sabe, I'm dead.
Sabe finally. Is free.
Sabe is free. Ochi is coming back. Freaking Ben Solo is coming up in Star Wars. I guess it's gonna be
Aslan
like
Rel was on.
Aslan Rel is somehow supposed to show up. I have no idea how he. I think it
oh
might
my
be
God.
Like. I
Let's
think it might
get
be like
Ben Solo and Aslan Rel together.
Oh my god.
Let's get those
Ben,
two freaks.
Ben Solo and Reef.
Just little guys.
I think it's going to be like Star Wars 20, where it's like the mushroom thing. But I bet, I don't know, Charles is doing something. He's always doing something.
Aslan Rel could still be alive.
Yes. I don't know how. Somehow Aslan Rel returned. Like, seriously?
I mean, he was alive from phase two to phase three.
It's like 100 so. Years. So what's another 250 years?
He's doing some freak shit, so.
So true. But yeah, the Star Wars and Darth Vader are both ending. Star Wars, I'm a little bit, I don't want to say upset about. I'll be the first to say it. Darth Vader needed to end a long, long time ago. At this point, I won't say my opinions on this, but free Ochi, free Sabe, free all of them.
Ochi and High Republic win.
Real.
So true.
He could
and it
be.
Could, exactly. It could reasonably happen. He could even be in phase two as a prospector or a pathfinder. I think that would be pretty fun.
Yeah.
But what else? Okay, yeah. Star Wars, I'm a little bit more upset about ending because we've been really having some good Lando stories out of it. And that's the only reason why I was upset when that announcement came, because the Lando stuff right now that's coming out of that is pretty good. But Vader, that stuff needed to end by issue 50. Get it out of there. We already canceled Aphra. We already canceled Bounty Hunters. Get those books out of there. But so speculating on where the next series are supposed to go, there's not going to be another Vader unless they do like another like Vader 2017 where they do it like in the prequels or like prequels moving into Age of Empire for Star Wars. In the original 1977 run, there's after the Return of the Jedi adaptation came out as a mini series, they jumped on and they like flash forwarded the timeline from the time of Empire Strikes Back to Return of the Jedi to post Return of the Jedi. I hope they'll do that. I know a lot of people have said they want sequel, like a sequel ongoing. I really, personally, I don't see that happening. It would make sense.
It would make sense with the Rey movie that they would do.
Yeah. But even then, that's like 2025, 26. I'm not 100% sure. But they've been really steering away from sequels stuff and really leaning into the prequel side of things. And especially with The Revenge of the Sith 20th anniversary next year.
But it's also Force Awakens 10.
Yes, that too. So
and
honestly,
movies. I'm saying they might be leaning away now, but
yeah,
it makes this it would be the time it makes sense to return.
And I don't know whether I would want it to be set like in the years leading up to Force Awakens or like that 1 year. I know we've talked about this a little bit on the pod before, but like the year between The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, which honestly, in the context of the Rey movie, would make sense because we would get her training. But that hasn't been announced yet. This is all pure speculation, by the way. I want to make that clear. But yeah, I would like to see more sequel stuff. I want another sequel book. We haven't gotten a sequel book in what? Years? I want to
Wow.
say.
Shadow of the Sith was our last.
Shadow of the Sith? But that's true.
Was
That
that
was
was sequel?
22. Yeah, that
That
was
was.
22. But I mean like pure sequels, like not set in between. Anything like that? I don't think we've gotten something like that since.
Well, we didn't get a lot of those anyway.
True.
Like, what did we really get? Like, I mean, we got a couple of the like
There's like
younger
lots
reader.
of. Oh yeah,
What?
the small ones.
Because there's
Yeah. And,
Black Spire, Resistance Reborn, Canto Bynd.
yeah. Like
True.
I was like, but the Galaxy's Edge. I mean, because there was the Galaxy's Edge tie-ins. Phasma technically, I guess Phasma is like half and half because it was both before and during. Oh, I guess we got Free Fall too. But it has been a while, and there are a lot of characters still
Yeah.
in the.
I would like another squad book because
Hell yeah.
where's Iden, Del, and Zay family adventures? Like, where's that?
I was gonna say we should get a snap book, but I guess the Aftermath books are kind of snap books, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Black
but
Squadron book.
what if he has some more?
we could, because have we ever seen like how he met his wife?
No, I don't think so. They were together in Poe Dameron.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's what. So like, seeing like Snap
Flight
and
school. Much flight
her,
school.
like, yeah, like flights go like the beginning of them on Black Squadron and stuff.
I think I would combust into flames. The Poe comics are the original girly. Like, they were the thing that I was obsessed with. If we get any sort of Black Squadron content, oh my God. I think I would once again combust into flames.
Yeah, I want Wedge's flight school, and then because like we touch on Wedge and Nora's relationship a little bit in like the Aftermath books, they're still at the end of the Aftermath books. They're like they're together, but they're not really. I want to see the in between with Wedge's flight school and
Exactly.
married and all that. Like, also Wedge and Snap content. I need
Having like
Dan.
a
Yeah.
Wexley family book,
Yes.
Yes.
like having like a you know
Like
a
Poe Dameron
wedge.
Freefall, but for Snap and the Wexley family.
Yeah, but then like it's like almost too like I would like it's like each POV set in a different timeline.
Oh, I
So
like
it's like
that.
Nora when she's like younger, Snap more like at the beginning of the Resistance, and then Wedge when he's meeting Nora and like in flight school and stuff.
I'm
So and
sad.
then you see how they like weave together.
I'm sad. I'm so incredibly sad. Lucasfilm Publishing is scared of me. They say the book doesn't even exist yet.
It
They asked me to leave, but I'm still
is.
there.
They say we just came up with the book right now.
Ooh, I have chills thinking about that. That would be a good book. I hope for more sequels content. I hope they're bringing more sequel stories back. But yeah, I think that's all the news. Does anyone have anything else that I probably forgot about?
Daisy Ridley went to
Yeah.
The
Pictures. Oh my God, she was so excited to be on Rise
It
and see herself. Oh, and then when she
was
saw Rey, oh my God.
I don't
No.
care if you got to make Daisy Ridley
It
at
should have happened.
Galaxy's Edge.
It should
It
have been
should
her.
have happened to me instead.
And she's. I don't really talk about my affinity for Daisy Ridley, but she is so cute. Like, she is adorable. I want to be her friend.
I agree.
She's just the cutest.
I love
Like,
how
her smile.
it's so cute. Like, she'll just, like, she doesn't shit post, but she does. Like,
Yes.
she'll watch a movie and she's like, this is great, go see it. And I'm like,
Exactly. She's one of the
Yeah.
girlies.
Get her.
Yeah. her and her husband on the
on Tower of
Guardians of
Terror
the Galaxy's ride.
She
Her little
she's
bucket hat was so
yeah.
cute.
And then when she actually meets Rey, those pictures, oh man. Real ones remember when they had started to film The Last Jedi, she said she was taking a bath or something and she got turmeric on her face. Real ones remember that video.
I have video saved on my phone.
I remember seeing a BuzzFeed article about it and being obsessed with it. Oh man. When will we get a redo of that for the Rey movie?
Real.
Okay, now that I think we've finally completed all of our news, we can move into episodes 3 and 4 of The Acolyte. So, episode 3 is titled Destiny, episode 4 is titled Day. Let's start off with what we thought about Destiny, which is the lesbian witch cult episode, which I think personally I loved. It was definitely giving Path of the Open Hand.
Yes.
Like, I loved it. And I know there's probably gonna be some stuff going on with what happened with like the fire on Brendok and the witches. Apparently, some people noticed that Mother Coral's body wasn't with the rest of the witches, but Mother Anasea's was, so there might be
She's dark
some
teeth.
dark teeth. So
That's
true.
very I'm seeing.
I'm actually convinced of that. I know people
He
think
was
it's
too obvious. Like, he's too
yeah.
obvious. Like,
Yeah. He's too obvious. I agree.
little guy. I think he's a red
Like,
herring, but like, it's too
yeah. Yeah.
obvious.
No, I agree.
Yeah. And I think that it would be the, yeah, mother. What was it? Asaya?
Yeah, Anasea.
No, sorry. The,
Mother
not
Coral. Coral.
Mother Coral. Sorry. Yes. I was like, not her.
Not Mother Anasea.
And like, and she didn't kill Osha. Yeah,
No.
like he just kind of yeeted
They,
her. Like the threw Osha to the side. So I feel like that is just like being that close and the saber being right next to Osha's face. I was like, you put it.
Just like the whole goal of like just basically wanting her daughters back and being able to
Yeah.
like train them herself
Yeah.
would
Oh.
make a lot of sense for him. I think more sense than any motivation that they could give Kai, what's how you
Primer,
say,
yeah.
Chimera.
Yeah. No, I agree. What happened in the fourth episode? Also, Basil, newest member of the little guy
Oh my God.
brigade. I'm obsessed with him.
I didn't
And
love
of
episode
course,
four.
our baby girl Yord came back. Like, duh, I speak Basil's language. Is it Tinnen? Yeah, I speak Tynan. Also, we could reasonably say there's an Easter egg because he said most Padawans want to learn Shriwook. Bell and Burry reference.
How true.
Even though technically Belle didn't learn Shriwook until after
Yeah, until
he
after
met
Nip
Bri.
died,
So
but
actually, really, that's
in my heart it is. What was I gonna say? Also, I do have a comment. I've tweeted about this multiple times. But really and truly, whenever Mother Anasea, Jodie Comer was on screen, I legitimately could not focus on
not
anything
Jodie
else.
Comer, not Jodie
No, not Jodie Comer, Jodie Turner Smith.
It
Jodie
took me a minute.
Turner Smith. Sorry, Jodie Turner Smith.
I was like,
I tell
Jodie
you,
Comer's a white lady.
I tell you,
That's race,
that
mom.
woman, that woman is so distractingly beautiful. She, oh my God, with like the piercings and the braids and that, how they wrap around her, and oh my God, the bisexuality was bisexuality. And happy Pride, by the way.
I'm like, she speaks. I'm like, anything you say, mother. Anything
No.
you say.
Oh
So
my
true.
God, her voice and
Oh.
marriage. Like,
Oh.
I'm down on my knee.
Like, you can put a baby in me. I don't care. Let's go. And she... I don't even want to have kids, but like, go for it.
So yeah, the space lesbian witch cult, I think, was a great new perspective on Force lore. Especially nowadays, we've been getting a lot of like Force factions and other Force lore. And this one specifically ties very closely to the High Republic, again, because it has some Path of the Open Hand vibes. When they said though there are those who call it the Force and claim to use it, hello, welcome back, Alessia Zeveron.
I was freaking out. I was
yeah.
like,
yeah.
It was, oh my God.
In the background of one of the episodes, there was an egg. Like, there was, like, an egg somewhere. I have a picture of it. Hold on. I'll pull it up. I was just looking at this the other day.
So, share the one little, like, horse thing.
Yeah.
Was one of the horses.
Yeah. Yes. From Planet X. Yeah.
So.
And did we confirm that? Because I know people were talking about it, but that's not, that they're not on Planet X.
They're not, no.
They're not, okay. Yeah, because I was like, I think before maybe I saw a theory that people were like, what if that's
I know
where
what
they
you're
are?
Saying. Yeah,
like,
in
that's
that
where
case.
They were located.
Yeah, it was in the planet from the Eye of the Storm duology, but I don't think it was Planet X, so I apologize for that misspeak. Sorry, I'm trying to find this picture, but I literally texted it to Liv. I was like, that's an egg! That's an egg! Which sounds insane out of context. June 5th. When did the June 5th? 10th. Sorry, I'm looking at my calendar. June 10th. 11th. There we go. Okay. So there's something that looks like an egg in the background of the lesbian witch cult. It's like literally an egg shape. I Leonardo DiCaprio pointing gif when I saw it. And they were talking about people claiming to use the Force. Welcome back, Phase 2. Phase 2 enjoyers, we don't know how to lose.
I was, yeah. I once I heard them say basically the same exact thing that they say in The Path of the Open Hand, I
yeah.
was like, oh,
uh-huh.
So bad.
I was like, oh, yeah. Welcome back, Marta Rowe.
So true.
Marta and Yana Rowe parallels. So there.
Literally, in the beginning of the episode, when May was in the tree, or Osha was in the tree, literally welcome back Yana and Marta Rowe, for real. Which I guess now we can kind of start talking about the characters of Osha and May. I feel so bad for Osha, because I don't think she's been lied to, but she's taking things not all, I don't think, like, too literally, but she sees, like, a very black and white view of the Force. And I just, when she starts, like, fighting with Osha, I feel bad for her. Like, people, like, at first I was getting angry with her because, like, why doesn't she see that, that, like, there's other things to this than this lesbian witch cult? But I just felt bad for her once I thought about it a little hard. And really and truly, that's basically Marta Rowe reincarnated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And I think it's really, I know, like, because I know still some people were not trusting of the Jedi after this episode. I'm not saying they didn't do anything, because, like,
yeah,
we've only
no.
seen one POV. But I also think it's interesting how it was established even before the Jedi came that, like, Osha was like, I don't really know if I want to do this. Like, I don't really know if I want to be a part of this. And then, like, it was, like, her going with the Jedi was completely her choice.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that she wanted to do. It was something that she actively told her mother, like, I want to go with the Jedi. I want to learn the Force this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was really important. And a good symbol that this series is obviously looking at the Jedi with a lot of nuance, because
yes, I agree.
Obviously they did something.
they did something.
But obviously also, especially Sol, was so kind and caring towards Osha, and obviously, like, talked to her about, like, you need to make this choice, like, for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, she was able to, and that was, I think, really sweet, even
yeah.
if in the end, then things go to shit.
Yeah. I love Sol and Osha's relationship. I think we're definitely going to see a lot more of, I don't think we'll see flashbacks per se, maybe, but I worry about Soul and how he's going to not only deal with the fact that the Sith is out to get him, but how like that truth is going to come out. Because people have been saying, especially when we still have that footage of Kel Naka attacking Torbin and Indara doing stuff, I'm concerned for how this is going to turn out. And someone pointed out that Sol said, I'll tell you about it later, which, welcome back, Ned Stark, Rip King.
I was like,
welcome
oh,
back.
No.
Welcome back, doomed by the narrative, main character. But I think what it all boils down to is that this show is a mystery show. And mystery, especially in the High Republic, is a very like driving factor. So the fact that this show is going back to the roots and like really showing us the ins and outs of what happened, not only in the Jedi Order, but how they interacted with the rest of the galaxy and other like Force sects, I really love the show. So going back to more of like the Jedi part of this, Rip Kel Naka, by the way, I knew they were gonna pull some stuff like that.
I thought it was so many. It was like, oh my god, Kel Naka, was so excited. I'm like, oh no.
Oh no.
Like the way it just panned to him laying there.
And you're like, that's a Wookiee. Yeah. Wookiees are not easy to kill.
Yeah.
We know this.
Yeah.
Like, it was frightening. Like, it genuinely mm-hmm. was.
No.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sad about it. Like, I didn't like that how he died, but I do like how he died. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was very, like, it was giving, like, thriller, like, almost
yes!
like
movie. Kind of like Kevin Scott. Like how Kevin Scott.
Yes.
Had that kind of vibe because he likes to kind of bring horror
mm-hmm.
elements into
yes. Oh my goodness, yes.
So, and yeah, and then like how like she's, you see the genuine fear in May's eyes, and then the lighting just instantly shifts, and you're like, oh
mm-hmm.
boy. Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. And then he floats down. People, okay, the way incels are trying to be like, that wasn't cool. I'm like, you're acting like that wasn't the coolest thing ever, that he just like floats down.
Mm-hmm.
Without any noise and starts like walking. He's so scary. I'm so intrigued by him though, but I love him.
He is genuinely so terrifying. Like the one like little flick of the two fingers, not even like a force push, like a flick of two fingers, and he pushes Osha out of the way. Scary. And how do you know how strong you have to be to throw all of those Jedi off of their feet? With like smoke and bringing up dirt and stuff like that, that's scary. And that cliffhanger, I swear to God, in my really and truly, I was watching it and my roommate was in the kitchen making dinner. And when the screen cuts to black, I literally yelled, "No freaking way!" And I think I scared her. So, on the off chance you're listening to this, roommate, I do apologize. But
yeah. We all sat here just kind of screaming for a second. We were like, what?
No, it was genuinely, I think, I don't want to complain that the episode was short. I think it was short for a reason. And I think this was a really...
Well, apparently it was split into two parts.
Oh.
I heard that it originally, 4 and 5 was supposed to be one episode. And I split it, and I think you can tell.
Yeah,
I was not as big of a fan of episode 4
of pacing. Yeah,
yeah, the pacing off, and you could tell it was supposed to be longer. And then yeah. I found that literally they were told that it had to be shorter. It was kind of giving Black Cauldron where they were forced to cut it down, and then like you lose character moments.
I think with May especially, you could feel that loss of of character. And I mean, like, I think once you can watch this show as a whole, this episode will feel fine.
I agree.
But I think as you're watching it weekly, and as you're then having to wait a week, it does leave you unsatisfied and not in the best way. Like, the ending, the cliffhanger ending is cool, I think. I think that is cool to keep people waiting. Some of the other elements of the show, I was like, this is unsatisfying in a like, we should have had
the
writing here or something.
Yeah, I do see that part of it. Quite honestly, I didn't rewatch episode 4 before recording, just because I didn't have time. But I still think the dynamics between the two groups that were apparently seeking out Kalnaka, between Mei and Chimer, and the Jedi and Osha, which, by the way, Chimer may be pathetic wet cat. Maybe when he was flipped upside
Back.
down in that rope trap.
So funny.
Going back, Axel Gray, like, truly.
So true. I really liked these two episodes. I think they should definitely be taken. I think maybe episodes 3, 4, and 5 should be like clumped together into one mega episode.
Yeah.
Well, I would say three works on its own because it's a solid flashback episode. I think three works as an individual episode. And I like even that we didn't immediately get then like the Jedi point of view the next episode. Like I like that they're letting us really sit with that and like the thought of like, and obviously like Sel's like, I need to tell you something, so I'm assuming that it has to relate to that, and then like knowing that Sol is the only one left alive from those four Jedi, like I like that they're having us sit with that and that it was just one major flashback episode. Because sometimes I don't love when we're splitting when flashbacks are split up. So I kind of liked that we just took the time to, and I think it fit well with episode 1 and 2 where we're at the very end seeing Osha and they see each other again, and then immediately cutting to when they were last together.
Yeah, I agree with that. So in the second episode 4, the when Jeki is trying not to laugh at Yord, those are just siblings, man. Those are siblings. The Yord, put your clothes on, and then her try not to laugh. She's so Pookie Pie. I love her. And then what else? Yord, he's just Yord.
OSHA or Daphne confirmed that Jeki
That
has a
she's
crush on
crushing
OSHA.
on Osha.
Which is so true.
I've been saying it since episode one, ever since I went to that preview, ever since episode one. Kiss on the mouth.
Yes.
I love their dynamic. They're so like tiny, like pinch pinch. And especially when we talked about this last episode, but when Osha like has her shirt off and she's tying her coveralls, and Jeki's like, Mon Mothma meme with the eyebrow and the gay flag. That, yeah, I would like for them to kiss on the mouth, and I know AO3 is gonna do that for me.
already has.
Yeah,
Yes,
she has been carrying.
No, yeah, before when episode one came out, she posted an Osha Jeki fic and an Osha Yord fic. Which also, Osha Yord, I want more of that dynamic because there's history there and I want to
Yeah.
know more, which is why I wish episode 4 was longer, so we got more moments. Like, because there was they had that one moment, but I wish we could have like a longer moment with just like
Yeah.
two of them. Because that's a relationship I really am intrigued by, and I want to know what happened with that.
Yeah. I
It's
agree. Cuz
okay giving Firebrand in a weird way, because I'm like, was there something? Because Osha was very excited to see Yord again in episode one. So
yeah.
I'm like,
Like the idea that like too like obviously like OSHA left the Jedi, so like this idea that like Yord might have been upset that she did
and
and
that's
has like
extra.
unresolved feelings about that.
Like him calling her civilian and citizen constantly.
That was crazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Grow
I don't
salty. Grow
know.
salty.
Uh-huh.
And like I think he was trying so hard not to slip. Like I wonder if it's like almost like because you know so much of Yord is about being like the perfect Jedi that like after OSHA left he interpreted as he was too attached to her. So now he's trying his hardest to keep that barrier between them because he like can't get attached to her again.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't know. I can't wait for this next episode. And I've heard rumbles on Twitterverse that this episode is basically one long fight scene. And I don't know how I feel about that, but I would like to see more character moments in episode five.
Yeah.
But after episode five, like, we basically know nothing else other than we're getting more flashbacks when Kelnaka attacks Torben because he has, like, he got witchified or whatever.
Yeah, we have to kind of figure out. I know I saw someone say they were like, did we like forget that Mother Coral like heard that explosion or whatever and like walked away and told no one about it? Yeah. So, because there was that one point where it was like in the big like generator that they have, that obviously is it blew up, but she heard something from there and she went to go investigate it and then she didn't tell anybody.
Oh man.
Teeth, I figured you out.
I mean,
Darth Teeth, we know what you are.
what you are.
And if people were like, oh, the witch's bodies, like they didn't look like they were burned.
No, it
Like they
looked
were
like
all
they were
like
all
dead.
killed.
They
Yeah.
looked like they were killed. So it's like Mother Krull, I'm like, I wonder if it's like she turned around and she fought the Jedi with the other witches. And the witches died, but then Coral was like, gotta go.
Yeah.
Oof.
Very interesting.
Scary.
I love this. This is really reminding me. I always forget the name of it. Someone help me. The Daniel comic,
Ten no tr trial tr
the High Republic
what
comic mystery one.
trial the shadows one
Trail
Shadow
of Shadows.
trail
Yes,
Jen.
that is like my favorite comic from all of the High Republic, and like them finding out the nameless, and again like the spookiness of the name
Yes.
is kind of reminding me of that, like how just like
Yeah.
it was for the Jedi. Like I don't know, I feel like this whatever this like power that the witches have that like possess Torben, like that's scary. Like being
Yeah.
able to take over a Jedi's mind like that is scary. Like I know he's a Padawan, but like still, I mean,
No, it's a Jedi. Like, he still has training.
that's very scary and like something that they haven't seen before, and it's really like it's like making me feel like back to Trail of
Trail
Shadows,
of Shadows. Yeah.
encountering the Nameless for the first time. And like we always like heard the descriptors and like read the descriptors, but like
But that was
seeing
the first time we saw them, like, physically.
Emmerich seeing like Stellan and like the
Oh.
Stellan's like, no, like help me, like I need help, you need to help me, but like it's that's like the Nameless trying to like lure him closer and like oh like that is it was so good. And this is reminding me a lot of that, like the whole mystery of it. I really like
Yeah.
it.
It's
Yeah.
almost like kind of supernatural neo-noir in a way. I
Yeah,
hope Daniel does another noir miniseries for phase three, but that's besides the point. But
yeah,
anyway, continue, Emily.
really, really enjoyed. I really want him to do it again because
I do too. With Emmerich.
it was so good. And
Emmerich and Rita Thee.
Emmerich is going to be in that
That one miniseries, I think.
or whatever, the Stormwall one. Yeah,
Oh, okay.
it's gonna. There's like a bunch of characters that have stories, and Emmerich is one of them, and I'm
Oh my
really
God.
into it.
Wait,
Pookie.
when does the second YA book come out?
September.
September.
I just checked
Oh.
that.
Brain cell connected.
Because isn't Zerda Cordova's the next one that's out?
It's
With
George
Zerda.
Mann.
Yeah, George Mann and then Zoraida Cordova is doing the middle grade.
I'm so excited for that.
I wonder if I'm like, did Kalnaka, did he? Because he's, I mean, to be a full, like a Wookiee Jedi, like not a Padawan, he's a full-grown Wookiee Jedi, which means that he was likely a Jedi when the Leveler and the Nameless were happening.
Oh, 100%.
And Vernestra, so like, to like, for him to sit there and witness that too, like, when you're talking about, like, Maggie like talking about like, oh, how creepy it is like for him to see again like something being able to like take over the Jedi, like how potentially terrifying that is for him.
Not great for Vernestra, because again, she was
Yeah.
no spoilers, but after what happened in Temptation of the Force, I'm sure she's freaking out right now
Oh,
as like,
definitely.
okay, like getting war flashbacks, which I think, I mean, like, I mean,
Yeah.
this was episode two when she was like, we don't want to like do anything rash or anything, and I'm like, because she knows what happens.
Yeah.
Like, I her characterization in this show, I actually really am enjoying it. I know a lot of people aren't, but I'm like, this is in character for someone who was traumatized as a child, has outgrown all of her friends, and is now like an elder, essentially. Like, of course she's gonna
Yeah.
be like this.
Yeah, like I was like, sometimes I'm like, oh, she feels a little like weird, but then I like do have to remember that like what we have seen is an 8, 16, 17, 18-year-old Vernestra versus a now
Yeah.
like 200-year-old Vernestra. Like, of course she's gonna be pretty different.
Yeah, but she's giving Stellan Oh my
in
God.
a lot of ways. And I'm like,
Yeah, she is giving Stellan.
After those first two episodes, I was like, she's so Stellan, like it's actually
Yeah.
her.
Yes,
Here
absolutely.
in
this also Zoraida's is the next book. It comes out
Oh.
7th, but George Mann's book comes out September 24th, so they're less than a month apart.
Okay.
But yes, it is Beware the Nameless.
Beware the Nameless.
That kind of
What's
spooky.
the.
And then Tears of the Nameless is George Mann's book.
That cover? Oh, the Corey Brickley cover. Love it. Looking at the rest of the future books on Wikipedia. Beware the Nameless, August 27th. Tears of the Nameless, September 24th.
And
Starlight
then I
Stories.
don't, yeah, the next books don't come out till 2025.
No.
Yeah.
That's it. Novel reprint, the paperback for Temptation of the Horse, March 11th. But yeah, there's Beware the Nameless, Tears of the Nameless, and the Tempest Breaker, which I think I have opinions about the audio dramas. I think the last couple of them have been touted as like necessary for the rest of the High
They're
Republic,
not.
which really have not been, but I think because the Tempest Breaker is specifically set as like a bridge almost between the books coming out in 2024 and 2025, I hope that this will have a little bit more effect on the plot, especially because
I
Eivor
hope
and
it
Keeve are
doesn't.
both like they're both
Oh.
main characters in it along with Lorna. I hope that this will have a little more,
I think
like, I
it's
would say
fine that
effect.
they don't. I don't know, because I think the High Republic, one of the biggest things is I think that it is very overwhelming to get into. So I think it's personally okay when it's like you can do it without reading the audio dramas and you can do it without
Yeah.
reading the comics. Like, I think it's like part of it is like, yeah, it is nice to like for fans who want to consume everything to feel like it's having a big impact, but especially since not everyone listens to the audio dramas and they sometimes wait, like I do, like for it to come out in the book. That
That's what I
I think
do.
that's also I also think that's why they have to have a little less impact on the plot, because they know some people are not going to pick it up until they see it on the shelves. They're not going to say, oh, then they'll say, oh, there's a new High Republic book, I'll get that, because like they don't maybe follow the publishing as much as like other people do.
Yeah. When I was first starting out reading Star Wars books, I didn't read any of the audio dramas. I had just read the adult books and I had got along just fine. But then when I really started to get mentally ill about it and read everything, even the Tempest Runner was still a good book, but yeah, but what were you saying? What you were saying? Maybe it's good that they don't have as much effect on the plot. The only thing is that that's a long time between two adult books, like June and then what, spring 2025. That's my only concern about it.
I think they're trying to let people catch up. I think that was kind of the idea, is like they're, because phase two came out so fast that I think like it's not even just letting people catch up on phase three, it's like letting people catch up on phase
Phase
two
two,
and getting
yeah.
to phase three. Even phase one came out so fast.
It was a
Phase,
like it was a year. It was
yeah,
basically
phase
a year.
one, I didn't even read most of the YA books until last year because there was so much stuff that came out. I remember I read what was it? I read Light of the Jedi, Rising Storm, and Fallen Star as they all came out. As for the YA books and stuff, I didn't even know there were YA books until I saw them on the shelf when I was picking up Rising Storm on release day. So I do see that point where they're letting people catch up, and I might need to reread a lot of the books because it's been a while, but that is a later that's a later problem. That's a later me problem.
Yeah, and what I was saying this the other day, they used to release all three books on the same day. They would release the adult, young adult, and middle grade book
Oh my
on,
gosh.
or
That's
within a few days.
way too
It
much.
was like a lot, like, because I remember I would write down like the release calendar, like when they were first coming out, and I think that's why I don't really remember a lot of the YA and mid grades from phase one, because like I was so overwhelmed by content and like my. The adult books, especially for someone whose favorite characters are like the Firebrands, like I wasn't as attached to the characters in those, like in the YA and mid grades, so like it was overwhelming. But I remember like it was either always like the same day release or like within the same week they would release these books, and I was like, this is just
That's
crazy.
crazy.
I was trying to like get it out and get it like to everyone, but I think that's what I like about phase three now, like it is such a long time
It's
between.
spaced out.
But it makes it so much easier for me to like act in the
I think
media.
that's too, you could tell that they didn't know like how popular it would be because they were
Yeah,
releasing
that
it so quick.
too.
They're like, we have to see, like, it's like to release all the books at like the same day to like build up hype amongst each crowd. But I think once they realized that like at least people were mostly reading the adult and young adult, that they were like, okay, we can like spread it out a little bit.
And I think that that's how a lot of people got their start, is just reading the adult books. I mean, that's how I got my start. And then once I reread the adult books and I was like, oh, there's other things happening, and the comics too. It was weird for me because I think I started reading the comics first. No. I read just the adult books and the main run, and I think the mini series. So it was weird for me to try and kind of piece that together because the comics themselves are very, like, they do have some of the YA elements, like especially the Drangir. I had no idea what the Drangir were, and I was reading the High Republic like title, just kind of filling in the blanks. So that's also kind of weird, but I really like the cross media part of phase one. And you can say it has its benefits and its drawbacks, but one thing it did is it did provide a synergy throughout all of the books. So you could read what you want. You could, leave some things for later, like I did. But I think with phase three, it's a little bit different how they're rolling it out because the title for this series or for this phase is only 10 issues long. And then I assume Keeve's arc is going to be picked up in Tempest Breaker, which is also kind of why I brought that up. But looking back and seeing how far the High Republic has come is really, really crazy.
It's so wild, like especially because like I was one of the people, I wasn't like Leah who was there when they announced it, but I did read that it came out the day it came out, so like seeing it from there, like we were such a small little group on the little internet.
We thought we were so big at Star Wars Celebration,
I know.
Anaheim. Like, Anna was like
Anaheim.
30 people.
There were
We're like,
literally like
there's so
30 of
many of
us.
us. And then London happened. We're like,
It's
wait.
so wild. I like looked at the two, I posted the two pictures like next to each other the day of the High Republic meetup in London, and all I remember like all of the authors like comment on the tweet, they're like, oh my God. And I was like, I know, because it's crazy. Like there were literally, I think I counted, there were about 30 of us, maybe like a little more with like all of you guys that were not in the picture, but like was, I mean, insane how many of us there were at London. Like it's grown so much, and I know it's, that's also just who could make it to London compared to who couldn't make it to Anaheim. People were still fans at the time, but like we've definitely grown significantly.
100%.
So
there's a difference between the two panels too.
Mm-hmm.
Like we didn't even fill up. We filled up London.
Yeah. And even just saying like how many people are cosplaying High Republic characters at just like other conventions now. And then like how much that's gonna increase with Acolyte now, like how many people
I saw May cosplay on my For You page today. I loved it. They didn't sell it, by the way, but
or just like the Jedi too with the Gold Rose, like how many Sold and Yords and Jeki,
yes,
and even like older Vernestras we're gonna see now.
You can buy High Republic robes on cosplay sites now.
Yeah,
that's crazy. It's been such a pleasure to watch it grow and watch people like read it. Whenever a mutual says, "Oh, I'm starting to High Republic world," I'm like, yeah, and then seeing the progression of them, like, you know, getting through it and discovering the mystery for the first time. There's really nothing else like it in Star Wars, I don't think. And this initiative was so new and something like completely out of what the wheelhouse of what Lucasfilm has traditionally been doing with publishing. But not only has it paid off, it has excelled and brought not only so many more people into the fandom, but so many more like fantastic writers into the fold and fantastic fans and artists and cosplayers who, I mean, we have two of our besties who were internet artists, got discovered, and now they have freaking covers that they made for the High Republic. Like, it's mind-boggling to me. And I can't wait for the High Republic meetup in Japan, if there's going to be one, which I think there will be. I don't know about a panel, maybe, not 100% sure, but that meetup in Japan is going to be a lot bigger than I think both Anaheim and Europe combined, and it's going to be so weird and strange, and I'm gonna be so excited for it.
I hope also because High Republic did so well, after they finish it up, they then go to another era we haven't explored yet.
Yeah. I think that definitely showed them that that's going to be worth it. I don't know what era they would explore. I would think because of the James Mangold movie, they would go back to Dawn of the Jedi and maybe do something a little bit similar to that.
That's like canon Old Republic Dawn of the Jedi stuff.
Mm-hmm. Because
I would just love some canon stuff and go farther back. Because I love more, and
mm-hmm.
That part of Legends is interesting, even though the fans are annoying. It is interesting stuff in there, so I would love some of that.
Can't confirm.
No, but like, yeah.
I would be interested to see how they do Revan in this new like publishing phase that they're in. And like what aspects they would bring. Like if they do in fact make him non-binary, I think that would be the funniest thing they could pull. Okay. but yeah, just seeing the High Republic expand has been truly one of the coolest things I have ever seen. But anyway, back to the TV show about the High Republic. It's tangentially related. I can't even say that's a tangent because it is related.
Like book readers and a podcast together, we all just
so true. I want to touch on Kel Naka one more time because he has that prequel comic coming out. Yeah. I tweeted this before, but introducing us to him and then immediately killing him off and taking him off the board was the most Light of the Jedi thing they could have possibly done.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's gonna be cool, and we touched on this, but I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up in some of the new High Republic books coming out. But I think he's super cool, and seeing how he was killed and that easily scared me.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's interesting how he was still obsessed with the Force cult and was like drawing the symbols. And also someone pointed out that the symbol, like the middle of it, is the yin and yang, which are kind of like Mei and Osha.
I noticed that. I was like, that's suspicious.
That's sus.
Yeah. I just want to know more, which I mean, I guess we have the rest of the show coming out, but this show specifically, they're doing a lot of mystery, which the prequels are, I think, founded in mystery, but it's a kind of noir mystery, which I think we touched on when we were talking about Trail of Shadows. But this show is genuinely so good. Like, I've never really been invested in any of the live action characters. I've never really been invested in any of the live action shows, like, to the point that where I am now with the Acolyte. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it to get the whole thing, and then I can, like, rewatch it.
Yes. Like, to be completely honest with you, I haven't watched any of the live rewatched any of the live action shows except for Mandalorian. Like, I haven't rewatched Andor, I haven't rewatched any of those, like, for pleasure. I am going to rewatch these episodes for pleasure because they are genuinely, like, such good television.
And also pick up all the Easter eggs and connect back.
Yes.
Beforehand.
Mm-hmm. This show, man. I'm so excited for this week. I don't think they'll unmask who Darth Teeth is, but I'm so invested in it. All right.
How many episodes are there?
Eight.
Oh, so we're already on five
Four.
This week.
Five. Yeah.
Five.
So
this
it's
week.
It's halfway done. Which I don't think, to be quite honest with you, I don't think this show could. The show was specifically crafted to be 8 episodes. It's not like Mando, where, like, something's happening in episodes and then nothing happens and then it all happens in one episode, where it could have definitely been 12 episodes. But I think this show was crafted to be 8 episodes.
I think the episodes could be longer, though.
Yeah,
I do agree with that point. Well, but I don't think
I
it could handle
episode 4 in particular. But, like, I don't know, because, like, I feel like it has to be the creator's choice at this point. It's not, I don't think it's like Marvel where they're like, yeah, six episodes.
Here's this shows,
like,
yeah.
Like, because, like, obviously, like, Tony said, I want to do 12 episodes, and they said, go ahead. So I think it had to be, like, they did plan for, like, 8 episodes. Or that's what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But this we've also not confirmed this is, like, a limited series, right?
I don't think it's been confirmed, but I would not be. I think I would probably prefer it to be a limited series, because I don't know how they could stretch out.
Well, I think you just do another. I mean, I don't think, like, I mean, I think based on this, that, like, I think there's a lot of Maze and Osha's story that you could tell.
Mm.
I kind of think it's going to be more than one season. I don't see how you introduce a Sith Lord, like, one of the first Sith in a long time, and then just go, okay, and we're done.
Yeah, I do see that point.
I kind of think that it was maybe a show designed to be more than one season, two at least.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts on any of the characters or the episodes this week?
Jackie, welcome back, Arya Stark.
So true.
Watching Game of Thrones right now, yeah.
So yeah, true.
Just finished season 1 of Game of Thrones, so.
Yay! Oh my gosh! Once you get to the stuff like,
that's Arya.
Once you get to the stuff like the Hound and stuff, oh my god, I love Arya. She's top 3 favorite characters for real.
That's you she's in my top 3 right now.
Exactly. I think it's Arya, Sansa, and Tyrion are my top 3, which is an insane.
What top? Mine are Arya, Dany, and Tyrion.
Mine is
so true.
Theon and Varys, which is a one top 3. Especially for season 2 right now, where Theon's not at his best right now.
Yeah.
He gets there. It's
yeah.
Great. It's like everyone's saying,
making some mistakes right now.
Like, in the early seasons, you're like, why is Jamie your favorite? I'm like, just wait.
Oh my god, Braemy. Oh my, once you get Braemy, you're gonna go crazy.
You are.
I love Braemy so much. I love Braemy to the point where in 2019, I had not watched Game of Thrones. I was watching the interviews with Nikolai and Gwendolyn when I had no idea what was happening, because their chemistry was so good and they were so funny. Like, those 20-minute long compilations, I watched every single one of them in existence when I had not watched Game of Thrones, because I loved them. They're so funny, like, genuinely so funny.
Oh my god, I can't wait for you to get to season 3. You're gonna love season 3.
Yeah, season 3 is really good. I love the parallels of Game of Thrones actors being in Star Wars. It's so funny.
I have been needing to make a thread about who's all the crossovers for that.
Yes!
I've been saying I was going to do it for the past year and I just haven't.
I made a little tweet about it and then people were like, what about this person? What about this person? Like, yes, I know, but I didn't include them in my tweet, which I can only include 4 pictures, you know? Yeah. I think the funniest one by far is Veers being Maester Pycelle. That one always kills me.
Oh my god, the Imperial officer in Andor.
Qyburn.
Yes. Qyburn. Yes. I'm like, what are you doing?
Literally, I had rewatched Game of Thrones. I think I'd rewatched the episode where he gets introduced the day that Andor episode came out, and I was like, you know, Adam Sandler, what are you doing here?
Yeah, the Wraith is Vel. And you're hello?
See, and I'm watching Bridgerton and I'm like, why does John look so familiar? And just because he was an Imperial officer in one episode of Andor. I was like, oh yeah, no, that would actually be it.
That's another funny one.
Corbin. I couldn't even find photos of him in it.
Yes!
I just knew it was him. I was like, yeah.
It was beamed directly into your brain by the Bridgerton creators.
I was why does he look so familiar? I went on an IMDb and it's literally he's in one episode as I don't even know what.
Imperial Officer 25.
Literally, it says Pit One, but it's as a different name. I'm trying to even see what episode it is. I don't even know if it's just saying one episode, but I'm like, which episode?
Yeah, Faye Marseille, that one is always a jump scare.
Now we have Tommen.
Yes, Tommen is Torben. If I had a nickel for every time Jeffrey Dean Chapman played a character with 2 T's that died, that committed suicide, I'd have 2 nickels.
3. 1917. His character.
Oh my god, you're from
Blake.
I haven't watched that movie in years, but my god, you're right.
I saw he was gonna be a Padawan. Someone's like, what? I'm like, if I swear to God, I have to watch him die again. And then he did. I was like, god damn it. Dean Charles Chapman is the new Sean Bean.
I'm trying to rack my brain because I truly can't think of any. And of course, once we finish this episode, I'll probably think of 3 more, but yeah. By far my favorite is Maester Pycelle being Beers. That's truly cosmic comedy right there.
There's I forget which podcast and who does it, but I went on for Andor, it's every episode they say an actor who was in Star Wars who was also in Doctor Who.
Oh yeah.
Which it is might a be, lot.
Yeah, it might be Ashes.
No. Cause I went on for Andor and they did it. It was
yeah, I'm trying I don't know.
To, I'm so sorry. Yeah, but it was and it's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
The Game of Thrones, Star Wars.
Doctor Who, Venn diagram.
Doctor Who, Venn diagram. You can add Harry Potter in there.
Oh my god.
Friends, Harry Potter or Doctor Who with British actors. So that's just... Mm-hmm.
And Downton Abbey too.
Yes.
Wild, wild activities.
You have to be in one of them. You can almost start at Bridgerton at this point.
Yeah, Bridgerton.
Yeah.
I think it'll. I think especially in the next few years when those actors start to be in other things.
Definitely, we'll start seeing them pop up more and more.
It'll be everyone knows they were first on Bridgerton.
The Daisy Ridley movie is just going to be a checklist.
So true. Okay. Any final thoughts on this week's episodes 3 and 4? Good.
Yord was yording. That's it.
Yord was yording, truly. All right. In that case, we can move on to Castle Run Book Club. with our literacy updates. So my literacy update is that I finished rereading Lesser Evil. Oh my god, what a novel. Bring back Timothy Zahn writing the Blue Men, please. I miss dearly Symmachro and Thalias and Ciri and Vanya and Eli and all of those Thrawnverse people. Bring him back. Furore, that one random book that popped up on the website. Timothy Zahn, come home. Timmy Z. And then I finished rereading Temptation of the Force. I think like right before episode 3 came out, I literally had to stare at a wall for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The ending of that book is so... I won't say anything because Emily hasn't read it yet, but oh my god, what a novel. That's for me, because I've just been knitting and cross-stitching all the time. Emily, do you have any little literacy updates for us?
I finished You Should Be So Lucky, which is a queer baseball historical romance. It was so good. So fucking good. I would really recommend it. The writing was super amazing. The characters were really great. The romance was so well written. And yeah, it's just a very fun book. And I think it's especially fun if you're looking for like historical romance that is not just Regency era stuff. This was a really great one. It's by Kat Sebastian. Definitely excited to read more of their books. And then I'm currently reading Temptation of the Force. I started yesterday, about 50 pages in. Enjoying it a lot so far. Like I said, I love Tessa's writing so much. And I'm already loving how they're writing Eivor and Marcion, so I'm very, very excited to continue going on that.
Oh my god, Marcion's chapters,
so good.
So the good.
The first one where he was talking about how, like, we know it's Marta, but he won't say the name and he won't talk to her.
He won't acknowledge her?
Yep.
So oh good. My god. So good.
It's so good.
It gets crazy. Crazy, crazy good.
Oh.
And for our guests, literacy updates.
Yours are shorter.
I'm not very literate right now. I finished Temptation of the Force the day after it came out, I guess. It made me go crazy. I know I said this already, but Elvar Enjoyer, check. Markian Enjoyer, check. Roe Family Enjoyer, check.
Check.
Check. It was just, it was.
It I was just written for Maggie, if we think about it.
Seriously.
It really was. Like, everything in that book, I was like, oh my god. Like, because my, like, number one the High Republic book before this, because now this is my favorite, but my favorite before this came out was Path of Vengeance and Path of Deceit. They were like,
yeah.
Died. I love Marta. I love Markian, so it was all for me. And then of course, because of the Markian content, I did go back to my favorite Markian fanfic, A Taste of Chaos. Everyone read it. I don't know who wrote it, but I love you. You're my favorite. Like, it's like 60 chapters, but it's so it's so good. Any hyperspace enjoyers, read it. It's so good.
Okay. What about Kels?
Oh god, okay. So I did finally read Eye of Darkness, because I was like, I need to read Temptation of the Force, because Hayden was going off about it. I'm like, fuck it, I gotta do this. So I read Eye of Darkness the day before Temptation of the Force came out at work, listened to the whole thing, and then I read Temptation of the Force the next day, all in one day. It's fine, I read two books in the span of 2 days, it was great. And then I reread The Confessions of Young Nero by Margaret George.
I was gonna say, you've been in your Roman Empire era again.
Yeah.
I read the book for the first time 2 months ago. Yes. Am I rereading it? Because it made me feel insane. Yes, the way that Margaret George writes Emperor Nero is like my favorite thing. I'm obsessed with him. He's my little Pookie, even though he committed a
trespass. Oh, we had no idea.
I'm obsessed with my Pookie Nero a lot. And then I'm also reading Emperor of Rome by Mary Beard, which is another Roman Emperor book. Basically, when I go see Gladiator 2, I need to make sure I know more than every other man in that theater.
So true.
I think I'm there, but I'm still going. I love those fucked up men of the Roman Empire. They're insane. I love them, though.
Everything I hear about them are so silly goofy. Which one was the guy that had the soldiers fight the ocean?
That was Caligula.
Just so unserious. All of these men were so unserious.
Caligula was also the one where he got so fed up with the Senate that he's like, screw it, I'm gonna make my horse my consul, the second most powerful person in Rome. And he did.
That's the peak unseriousness.
Yeah, I love them. They're kind of insane. I finally finished SPQR too. That took me a while, but I finished all that one. And yeah, I'm just kind of on a rampage about the Roman Empire. It's fine.
As you should be. Any last minute announcements? Anything we want to promote, plug, all of the above?
I have nothing to plug. Follow me.
Excellent.
For brain rot thoughts.
Well, okay, we did get cast. Well, there's casting call announcements for Percy Jackson season 2. So be prepared for me going insane over Percy Jackson yet again, because they are going to start filming in August. So.
Oh man, I forgot about that. And I saw they were casting Talia and Tyson. That's the two characters?
Tyson, and then an original character that they're right now calling Allison, who is a rogue demigod that was at camp and is now a part of Luke's army. Which is now, we're going to get more of that side, which obviously we couldn't get in the books because it's all from Percy's point of view. Yeah. So I'm very excited about getting more lore about like the rogue demigods that defected, because there wasn't a lot of that in the book. So I'm very intrigued. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
It's more Luke content, so let's go.
All right. Well, thank you so much to Kels and Maggie for coming on and chatting about episodes 3 and 4 of The Acolyte with us. Their social media links will be linked in the description of this episode, as always. You can follow us at all of our social medias. Those will also be linked in the description. You could feel free to send us emails at kesselrunrelaypod@gmail.com. We haven't had a listener question in a while, but we do miss them. And after our hiatus, we missed you all. So, as always, thank you guys so much for listening, and may the Force be with you.